thou faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To say that a person is faithful is to say that he is loyal and steadfast in his affections and his allegiance. He is a person who is unswerving in his adherence to someone or something. This lesson is designed to show the way to and accentuate the need for your faithfulness to Christ. More precious than life. For over 300 years, persecution of the early Christians raged, and multitudes were faithful unto death. Some were young men like Stephen, who was the first to shed his blood for Christ. Others were old like Polycarp, who, according to history, when brought before the Roman governor and commanded to curse the name of Christ, replied, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me nothing but good. And how could I curse him, my Lord and my Savior? Because of such loving allegiance to his master, the old soldier of the cross was burned to death. There were multitudes of men and women, boys and girls, who submitted to such deaths rather than deny their allegiance to Christ. Their blood was shed so often in the arenas that a traveler was once asked, "Do you want a relic? Take a handful of sand from the Colosseum. It is all martyrs." But these disciples were no different from you or me. They were not born heroic. There was something which had become more precious to them than their own lives, and that was faithfulness to their Lord and Savior. The words of Paul became their words. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. The motivation of faithfulness. How had this happened? What could cause people to count faithfulness more precious than their own lives? To answer this question is to find the way to our own faithfulness. First, let us consider what motivated Jesus to be perfectly faithful in doing his Father's will. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Here it is clear that the motivation to faithfulness in the life of Christ was love for his Father. It was the same motivation of the Apostle Paul. He recorded, "The love of Christ constraineth us." Before the death of Jesus, the Apostle Peter had been unfaithful to Christ. He had denied his allegiance to him 3 times. After the resurrection, Christ asked Peter this question 3 times. "Peter, lovest thou me?" Faithfulness is motivated by an unswerving love of a person for a person. Or, in his own words, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." When we love the way of life, we will be faithful to his way of life. We will hunger and thirst after righteousness. We will be merciful. We will love our enemies. Bless them that curse us. Do good to them that hate us. And pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. We will turn the other cheek. We will go about doing good. And when we love the head of the church, we will be faithful to his church. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with the local congregation where we live. We will faithfully support its every good work with our time, talent, and possessions. If we love the Word of life, we will be faithful to His Word. We will study it and obey it. We will not add to it nor take from it. We will be faithful to its doctrine. We will teach it to others. Yes, if we love Him, we will faithfully obey Him in all things. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. What then had caused the early Christians to be faithful unto death? It was love. They were in love with their Savior, and this they would not deny. Directed in the wrong direction. But this great motivation of faithfulness, love, for most has been wrongly directed. It has either been turned inward to self or given to the wrong things. Now, however, as disciples of Christ, we are in the process of redirecting our love. We no longer love the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have turned our hearts away from pleasing self and have presented our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. For we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. A religious leader was once asked the secret to his success. His answer was, "God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but I made up my mind God should have all of me there was." When God has our hearts, He has all there is of us. Therefore, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Living to the will of God. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. There is a story about a very wise man who always gave the right answer to every question. One day a young boy sought to trap him. He held a live bird in his hands and said, "Mr. Wise Man, is this bird in my hands alive or is it dead?" If the wise man said it was dead, the boy would open his hands and let the bird fly away. If the wise man said it was alive, he would give his hands a quick squeeze and open them and show the bird dead. But the wise man never looked at the boy's hands. He merely gazed into his eyes and quietly said, "Son, it is whatever you wish it to be." And so it is. The life we live is the one we wish it to be. God's way or our way, the choice is in our own hands. As John Oxenham put it, "And every man decideth the way his soul shall go." This was the choice Christ made. "Father, not my will, but thine be done." The life of Jesus was controlled by this one supreme purpose, to do only those things which pleased his Father. This was the foundation upon which all of his earthly career was built. In that brief moment that we see him as a young boy, it is evident, even at the age of 12, the choice he had made when he told his parents, "I must be about my Father's business." These are the first words we have recorded of Jesus. His last words before his death, "It is finished." Between these first words and these last, there is a life with one dominant motive. "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. For I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The choice Christ made was one of total commitment in living to the will of God, and he would have us to choose the same. But the choice is in our own hands. "For every man decideth the way his soul shall go." No excuse. It is required. You now have the combination for being faithful unto death. First, love for Christ. And second, living to the will of God. Now consider this last thought with all your heart. When Christ said, "Be thou faithful unto death," He did not mean merely to be faithful to the end of our lives, though we certainly are to be, but he was actually saying at this point, "Be thou faithful to me, even if it means death." Therefore, to the true follower of Jesus, not even the possibility of death is reason for infidelity to Christ and his church. On another occasion, Jesus said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Though it is unlikely that you, as the early Christians, will ever have to literally give your life because of your allegiance to Jesus, if the occasion did occur, Christ says, "Be thou faithful." The point is this: if death is not a reason for being unfaithful to Christ, his church, his word, what is? The answer is obvious. Nothing is. Consider this statement made by the Apostle Paul. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." What is required? Faithfulness. God expects it, and someday he will inspect it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Those who are found to have met the requirement shall hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Endureth to the end. We are now coming to the end of this series. But for you and me as disciples of Christ, there is on this side of eternity no finality in being faithful to God our Father and Christ our Savior. There is never a time when the soldier of the cross may unbuckle his armor and become as other men. We shall not be saved by anything less than faithfulness to God and his will. Only those who endureth to the end shall be saved. We have answered the call, "Come unto me." And now another invitation comes to us: "Abide in me." It is our earnest prayer night and day that we will answer this invitation too, so that someday, after we have fought a good fight and have kept the faith, the last invitation of all will come to us. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we shall go away into life eternal. Be thou faithful."
Be thou faithful.
Lord Jesus,